Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. He wants it all today. Hallelujah. How many of you out here in Blog Talk Radio land know that God wants it all today? He wants it all. All of us. All of it. Whatever it is. God wants us to give it to him. He wants us to give him his whole, our whole entire life. It's not a game. We're taking this thing lightly sometimes, and it's not a game. And God just wants us to surrender and give it all to him. Glory to God. So we just want to go and enter into his gates with thanksgiving tonight, into his courts with praise, because God is so completely awesome. He's just awesome. He's just a mighty God. Hallelujah. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, this is your servant, Teresa. Father, and I just thank you for today. I thank you, Father, for another chance. I thank you for another day of your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Father, for forgiveness of sins. Father God, I thank you. Father, I ask you, Lord God, that if I've done anything today, yesterday, that would bring shame to your name, I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. Father, if I said or done anything, Lord God, to offend anyone, I ask you to forgive me in the name of Jesus. Father God, and I forgive every offense, Lord God, made towards me, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just yield myself to you, Father God, and I ask that every listener on the phone line, every person in the chat room, Lord God, every person who will be listening in the archives will just totally yield themselves unto you, Lord God. For your word that says obedience is better than sacrifice. So, Father, we pray, Father, that we will all become obedient children unto you, Lord God, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, Lord God, that we will just be obedient children unto you. And, Father, I just want to say thank you right now, Father. We want to say thank you right now. Thank you for healing our bodies. Thank you for saving our sin sick souls. Thank you, hallelujah. So while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us, hallelujah. He didn't wait for us to hear about him and accept him. He died. Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, today for sending Jesus. Sending Jesus as the sacrificial lamb for my sins, for the sins of the listeners, for the sins of those that will be listening in the archives. I thank you. Father, let the words that we speak on tonight be of you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let there be no malice found in our hearts, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that we decrease, God, that you might increase, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. For this broadcast is not about me, Father. We invite your Holy Spirit in to come in and teach, Lord God, to come in and reveal, to come in to make things right that are wrong, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for anybody that might be listening on tonight who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they will hear the word of God and be convicted in their spirit, Lord God, and ask, what must I do to be saved? Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for their salvation right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. I give you thanks for this. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Good evening and welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is Teresa Scott, a.k.a. Evangelist Teresa Scott, and this is December the 19th, 2011. Glory to God. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us, those on the phone lines, those in the chat room, those that will be listening to the archives. I thank and praise God for you, and I bless God, hallelujah, that you've taken time to join us on tonight. Glory to God. And I don't know if any of you would have seen the promo or whatever, but on tonight we're going to be talking about offering up strange fire on up to God. Hallelujah. Caller 352, if you would like to have anything to say, you can press 1 at any time, and we will get to you because you will then be in the caller queue, and we will get to you. Glory to God. But tonight we want to talk about offering up strange fire, and the reason we want to talk about strange fire is because a lot of people go to church. Can you hear me, Evangelist Barbara? Can you let me know in the chat room if you can hear me? As I don't want to keep going if we can't hear, because I'm speaking tonight through Skype, so I want to know if you can hear me. If not, I'm going to have to call in on the phone. So anyway, we want to talk about strange fire on tonight. Let me see if she can hear me. Okay, so we want to talk about strange fire. A lot of people are in church today offering up things that they think that they're offering up to God. Thank you, Evangelist Barbara. They think they're offering up to God. Now, the Bible tells us that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, okay? There are a lot of people, and I can talk about this because I was one of them, who go to church and just offer God anything. Go to church with nasty attitudes. Go to church unclean. We know the church, people are supposed to come to church for, you know, to get restored, to get healed or whatever. But people just come to church, have been in church for years, and just come and offer God any kind of thing. Just got finished sleeping with somebody that's not their spouse and coming and offering strange fire to God. Coming in from the club, or, you know, making plans right after church what they're going to do, be with this person, do a little bit of drugs, do this and do that, offering up strange fire unto God. And God wants us to present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. God is not going to just accept anything from us because we say we are born again, because we say we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I'm stressing the word because we say, because we say a lot of things, and a lot of times what we say does not match what we do. You know, people say, if you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. And there's a lot of people talking the talk of Christianity, but not living the life of a holy person. Christianity has become a religion, but God wants us to be holy. And his word tells us, be ye holy, for I am holy. We're going to read out of Leviticus on tonight. And I don't usually go into the Old Testament a lot unless I'm reading from the Psalms and the Proverbs. But tonight we're going to go into the book of Leviticus because we want to talk about offering things to God and how it was in the Old Testament and how much more careful we should be today in offering worship to God, offering praise to God. We ought not just come to church and just come in with an attitude and come in with our little stinky moods and, you know, expect God to accept that praise and that worship. Because for real, we could have just kept that. We could have just saved ourselves some time and just stayed home and just, you know, done what we was going to do. God is tired of us, I believe. I'm not saying God told me this. I believe in my spirit that God is tired of us calling ourselves children of God, acting like the devil, and then coming to church offering him strange fire. People on the choir doing all kind of things. People in the pulpit doing all kind of things. Ushers, deacons, elders, apostles, bishops, evangelists, pastors, teachers, just doing all kind of stuff and coming to church and offering God strange fire. People just doing anything they want to do. And then our attitudes have become, well, God, you're just going to accept this because this is what I do. And see, people haven't dropped dead, and I'm not asking God to kill people. I'm not asking God to make people drop dead, but if you look in the Old Testament and you see how people acted before God, God did not play with them. God was not playing with the people. The Holy Spirit was not playing with Ananias and Sapphira when they came in there and they were lying and they dropped dead over money. They dropped dead. Ananias died because he lied about the money when the money was his. He didn't have to even lie about the money. It was his in his hand. He possessed it at that time, so it was still his legally. But he conspired in his heart that I'm just going to hold back some of this money. I'm going to tell him that I only, you know, got this much money for my property or whatever. And then he dropped dead because he thought he was lying to the man, but he was lying to God. He was lying to the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what we do today. We think we're hiding from the pastor and from the apostle and from the bishop. We think we're hiding, you know, from the senior pastor and the junior pastor and whoever. But God sees everything. God sees everything. He knows what's in our hearts. We can stand in front of the bishop, the pastor, the apostle, evangelist, the teacher. We can stand in front of anybody, the Pope himself, and we can lie to them until we're blue in the face. And they may not never know it, but the Holy Spirit inside knows. And God knows each and every one of us. He knows. We can't flim-flam him any other time. So I believe that we're in a season right now where the body of Christ needs to confess their sins. We need to confess our sins. We need to repent. The body of Christ needs to repent. The body of, I don't even know what, will you, do you want to call it the body of Christ? I don't even know what to call it anymore because there's so much pollution. There's so much strange fire in the body of Christ. People will tell you now, don't preach against homosexuality because God is love. God didn't mean that when he talked about homosexuality. Yes, he did. He meant just what he said, and we're going to show that tonight in Leviticus. We're going to read that. I'm actually going to read tonight out of the Bible. And Evangelist Mack is in the chat room, and she's saying confess and go back. Confess. We need to confess our sins to God and go back. I remember when I first came to the Lord, and I, for real, not the first time, when the first time when I went and got baptized and went down a dry devil and came up a wet devil, wasn't changed or nothing, just got baptized because that was the thing to do. And it was required in the home that I was living in. Everybody just got baptized, but nobody came up any different We went down one way and came back up the same way. So I remember when I really, really did accept the Lord Jesus into my life. And it was a whole different feeling. It was a whole different, I just felt like a new person. I felt new. I felt like I actually was born again. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was a little girl, but I got refilled with the Holy Ghost. And I remember when I began speaking in tongues, like it just, the Holy Spirit just took over and began to just speak in words. I didn't know what he was saying, but he just took over. And I remember that. And somewhere along the way, you know, I left my first love. I left him to do what I was doing. I left him because I allowed the cares of the world to come in. I left him because it felt better to do what my flesh wanted to do than to do what the Lord wanted me to do. I didn't have people teaching me a lot of things then, but if I knew then what I know now, I would be further than where I am right now. But, I mean, I felt like a whole brand new person, and then slowly along the way, the ways of the world crept right back in. I was cursing again. I was drinking again. I was, you know, dipping and diving again and, you know, sleeping around again, doing anything I was big enough to do again. But I was still going to church. I was still doing everything in the church to do, in the church, in the choir, directing the choir, in the Sunday school, doing this. I was doing a lot of things. My outward appearance to those that didn't know, it would appear that, you know, here's this woman, she's loving the Lord, she's doing what the Lord wants her to do, and my heart was so far from God, it wasn't even funny. And I'm saying that because it's a lot of people who are doing that now. There's a lot of people now who are living what I just said, going to church, faking the funk, you know, putting on a show, but inward, they're perishing. They're perishing. The Bible says, though the outward man perish, the inward man is being renewed day by day. But it seems like the opposite is happening. It seems like the inside man is perishing because the outward man is not dying. The outward man is doing whatever the outward man wants to do. The flesh is having priority over the spirit, not the spirit having priority over the flesh. So we're offering strange fire unto the Lord our God. Excuse me. And some of us seem to be doing it without fear. There seems to be no fear. There seems to be, you know, nobody's afraid of God anymore. We just want to do, like Evangelist Mac just posted in the chat room, men honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from it. And this is true. A lot of us, and I'm saying us because I'm part of the body of Christ, a lot of us are just giving God lip action. Our hearts are hard towards God. Good evening, G-Man Scott, my husband. Our hearts are hard towards God. We've taken a stand that since we've gotten away with doing, you know, offering this strange fire for so long, God has accepted it. But no, this is not true. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 9. And again, I don't really go in the Old Testament a whole lot, but the Old Testament, we need to read the Old Testament and really see what God was about in the Old Testament, because God has not changed. He is the same God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And a lot of people want to walk around talking about God is a God of grace and mercy. God has always been a God of grace and mercy. God has always been graceful and merciful toward us, to us humans. He's always been a God of grace and mercy. Always. And Evangelist Max said, the heart and lips must line up together. And if your mouth is not going to line up with your spirit, then stop talking. Okay? It's not impressing God. God's not impressed with what we're saying out of our mouth. God is impressed with how we live. He knows our heart. I mean, when are we going to get the fact that God knows our heart? When are we going to get the fact and understand and begin to change our ways that God knows us. God knows us individually. If the scripture says that God knows the very numbers of hair on our head, wouldn't you think he would know what's in our hearts? Wouldn't we think that God would know that we're offering him strange fire? And you say, well, what is strange fire? It's something that God didn't authorize. God did not, when we come to him, God does not authorize sin. Now, he authorize it anyway. He's not the author of sin. Sin came into the world because of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. We understand that. But as Christians, when we come to God, we belong to him now. We are now slaves of righteousness. When we come to God and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we are now slaves of righteousness. We are no longer slaves to sin. However, we have people, so many people in churches now who are not sold out to God, are still sold under sin, and are saying with their mouths they belong to Jesus, but what they're doing is not authorized by God. God doesn't authorize unforgiveness. God doesn't authorize backbiting and lying. God doesn't authorize disobedience and rebellion. God doesn't authorize that stuff. Anything we do, anytime we do those things, it's unauthorized. And then we want to come to church and we want to shout all over the church so everybody can see us. And after church, everybody can say, wow, did you see how well he or she shouted? Okay. We want to, you know, get up and preach the best sermon so people can say, wow, you know, so-and-so, you preach so good. Girl, you preach, girl, you, I didn't think you was coming back. You preach. No, that's not what we're supposed to be in this for. Strange fire. Offering up strange stuff that's not authorized by God. Yes, you may have preached the word and somebody might have gotten saved. But it was because that person, it was time for them to come in and be saved. Okay? Don't get it twisted. It wasn't about you. It was that time for that person to get saved. Okay? But God wants us to come clean. God wants us to stop playing games. Excuse me. God wants us to stop playing games. He wants us to examine ourselves. Examine ourselves. Take a sincere, honest look at ourselves. My husband and I were having a discussion, I believe it was earlier today, and he was just looking at me, and I was observing the way he was looking at me. He was looking at me as if he was beginning to see a change in me about some things. And I just looked at him and he looked at me, and I had to say that for 8 years I've been holding something in my heart against somebody, and I had to come clean with it today. I had to come clean, you know, and talk to them about it today. And I see you, area code 352. I'm going to get to you in just a few seconds. I had to come clean today, and I felt like brand new again. I felt like God is such a weight lifted off my shoulders. Now I can worship God and be free. Now I can praise God and know that I'm free from that. I don't have that monkey on my back anymore. Excuse me. I'm not trying to praise God over any mess that's in my heart. Am I perfect? No. But I know this one thing for sure. This thing that I had in my heart for 8 years is no longer there. So now I don't have to worry about offering strange fire up to God. I don't have to worry about doing things that are unauthorized in God's sight. Man can pat you on the back. Man can tell you all kind of stuff. But God is the one that has to give the final approval. God is the one that's got the final say is whether you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven or not. God is the one with the final say. So people can pat us on the back and they can boast about us. They can say how well somebody preached or how well somebody taught the word of God or how well somebody's given out, you know, food to the hungry and clothes to the naked. They can say all of that. But even doing all of that, reading 1 Corinthians 13, we can do all of this stuff. And we don't have love, it's unauthorized. If we're doing this stuff without love, it don't mean nothing. It means nothing. It means that your flesh got satisfied because somebody pat you on the back. Or you might even feel satisfied because you felt like you served humanity. But if you're not doing this out of love, if you're doing this just because it's an obligation, what good is it? What good is it? What good is it? I'm going to go to the call, to the line, area code 352, before we get into the scripture. and see what you have to say. Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Teresa, Brother Danny.
How you doing? Oh, so you got the call.
Bless and favor. I trying to figure out how to get on the chat, but I couldn't do it. But you talking to my spirit, sister. You talking to my spirit.
Praise God.
On Sunday, that was the word. You know, it was the word on Sunday at church, and I knew that 2010, I received Christ, and God had blessed me and my family just phenomenally. That people just were it was just awesome. They couldn't even believe that my life had changed around from being just a lying, cheating, whoremongering thief all my life. I was a bad boy in Ocala, and then, you know, I give my life to Christ, and supernaturally, instead of renting, I'm buying a house, and some materialistic things, but the joy was the real thing. But then, you know, in 2011, I started to let things become a priority. I started playing semi-pro football here, and I stopped doing what I was supposed to do for God. And really, I didn't never see that I truly had to trust Him, because He was taking care of us so well that I never got to a point where I had to trust in Him. But now He's put me in that place because I allowed things in this world to become a priority over Him. You know what I'm saying? I was out, you know, ministering to people, and I don't try to be nothing other than me. I was doing it out of love. But the things that I was holding in my heart and the things that I was doing that were out of will of God were making me ineffective, and it really convicted me in my spirit on Sunday that's what the pastor preached about speaking to people and telling them, God say this, and, you know, put this spirit on my heart to tell you this about your life, and seeing them want to change. But just like you just said, it was that they're trying to change. It had nothing to do with me. But I really want to get to that point. You know, I'm at that point now. It's I want to clean everything, clean that old junk mail up, get rid of that stuff, get rid of things that people saying about me that are allowing it to affect my future.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I know that it's completely out of the will of God, because I can't be effective, you know, in ministry and be carrying, you know, just like you said, God knows our heart. We can speak a good thing. You know, He made me a very successful salesman. So I will sell you something that you might not even need. But I'm not trying to sell people on it. I know that God is what you need. You know what I mean? I want to use that gift you gave me for the spirit, not for the world.
Yes, amen. Amen. I thank God for that, because, you know, if you're a person that can sell swamp land to anybody, you know, being a good salesman, and if you can do that, hey, that's all fine and good. But God wants us. He doesn't want us to put on airs and pretend with Him. He doesn't want us to try to get over on Him. We can't get over on Him anyway, Daniel. We can't get over on God, no way, shape, or form. And we sometimes feel like because, you know, hellfire didn't fall down on us, or we didn't drop dead, you know, one of our limbs on our body didn't fall off, that we got away with that thing. But God knows every single thing we do. He knows the motives in our hearts. He knows exactly, excuse me, He knows exactly why we do what we do. We can't fool Him any of the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what we say. We cannot
fool Him.
I was
sitting in my seat. I couldn't believe it. I said, good God Almighty, He convicted me. So you can't be out. You know, you can't be out. You got the hidden thing of people. You tithing and you're doing what you're supposed to do. And people see you blessed, but they don't know what you're really doing. And
that's
you
right.
Can't be effective. You know, and that's why, you know what I mean? You can't be effective in ministry when you got all that hidden sin that people don't know about. Prophets come in and try to prophesy my life, but they're not really seeing what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I don't want a prophet come tell me that, hey, I'm going to get a new car next week. I want a prophet tell me what you live in your life is wrong. You know what
right.
I mean? You truly care for God. God will show you that I'm living my life wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why I know He done placed me on here to when I speak to people, I pray God that prayer job is every morning that send me somebody that needs you and show me something in their life that's going to make them change. And it's not about, like I was telling you on Facebook, not about the nice house and nice cars. It's about women being abused and issues like that. You know what I'm saying? About something that's going to change their life. That's what God wants. Just like He's saying, strength. God don't want no mess up in the church. Not all that fake stuff. We need more men that's going to stand up and get real for God. That's going to treat their woman the way we're supposed to be treating them. You know what I mean? It's not what I'm understanding. Even a young baby in the church, that don't say nowhere in the Bible that the woman needs to love the man. It's our responsibility to show agape to our family through all five senses. So if more men will stand up and do what we're supposed to do and get up and turn out, then we're going to walk in that authority, right?
That's right. And you know what? And even though, and I had this conversation before with someone in respect to the Bible telling the husband to love the wife and, you know, to treat her as Christ loved the church and gave his life for the church. And someone said the same thing that you said to me, that it doesn't say for the woman to love the husband. It says for the husband, love your wife. It does tell the wife to submit to her husband. But don't you know, in order for the wife to submit to her husband, she has to love him? She has to. Women are strong-minded, very strong-minded.
It's emotional, but I think because of God took the woman out of man, she already has a connection there to begin with. We're the ones that are supposed to build it. That's what I believe. You know, what I've been learning is that you've been taken out of our bodies from the very beginning, that you already have a connection there, an emotional attachment, because you came from within us. You understand what I'm saying?
And we have to operate in agape love. We're operating in it's the filial love, and my husband is going to tell you about all of those. But I know that the agape love is the love of God, and it doesn't change, it doesn't waver, it doesn't love you today and hate you tomorrow. It's on an even keel, and that's the love of God, and that's what God wants us to show to others. And we have to get to that place. Our minds have been so messed up with things of the world. We've given into our flesh. We've given into the desires of our flesh. We've given into what we wanted to do for so long that now the Spirit of God wants to have his way. It's busy, you know, trying to do, thank you, honey, agape, filio, and eros. We're so busy, we want to do what we want to do. You know, that, like you said, emotionally, we operate out of our emotion. We operate out of our thinkings. We operate out of what we think, what we feel, what we see with our natural eyes, what we hear with our natural ears, instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to take over. And again, this topic about offering strange fire unto God, we have to get it together. We have to clean our hearts up. We have to.
He wants our devotion, not our emotions.
Exactly. Devotion and not emotion. And we've been so trained in our flesh to, like you were talking about the prophet, you don't want the prophet to come and tell you, okay, you, excuse me, I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. We don't want the prophet to come to us and say, okay, well, you're going to get a car, you're going to get a house. No, tell me I'm living nasty and foul and tell me that I need to get cleaned up. You know, anybody.
Yeah, don't be scared to tell me that I'm doing wrong. Don't be scared to tell me, because I know that God won't take me where his grace and mercy won't protect me. So if I'm a child of God and God showed me that you cheating on your wife, then I'm going to have to tell you what thus saith the Lord, right? It doesn't matter that it might hurt your feelings. I'm not trying to offend you. I love you with that agape love, and I know you're not going to try to whoop me for me telling you the truth. But that's how people got to get real with God, none of that fake fire.
But we're so conditioned to wanting to hear things that appease our flesh. Not too long ago, I'm not sure what year it actually started, but you know, the movement came along where, you know, it was this big giant prosperity teaching. Everybody was teaching about prosperity. Well, not everybody, but so many people were teaching about prosperity. People were, you know, being told to send in money, send in this amount of money because God's going to prosper you. And if you do this and you do it, God's going to prosper. Everything was about prospering. People was getting cars and homes and airplanes. And every time you turn around, it was all this prosperity talking to the point that I just got sick of it. I'm like, you know what? It's more about getting stuff, because the Bible tells us that we're supposed to lay up in our hearts, lay our treasures up in heaven, where neither moth or rust do corrupt. He said, "Don't excuse me. We're not supposed to be, you know, lusting after these things and wanting all of these things, because these things can't get you into heaven, and they definitely can't get you out of hell. But these things probably will send more people to hell. You know what I'm saying? Because people are coveting these things and they want these things and desire these things more than they desire God." But yet, still come to church, you know, I could get my shout on And to those that don't, those that don't know, I could say the loudest amen in the church. But those that wouldn't know, that don't have spiritual discernment, they would think, oh, yeah, that's Miss Holy over there. You know, this is the during the time when I said I was out there in the world. I was sleeping around. I was in the clubs. I was doing everything I was big enough to do. But I was still going to church doing what church people do. You know what I mean? And I was offering strange fire. Yeah, but I was offering strange fire unto God. Offering him strange fire. I was offering a holy God, an unholy sacrifice. I was offering a holy God something that was not even acceptable to him. God does not accept sin. He does not accept sin. No matter who you are, no matter what your title is, God does not accept sin, and he's not going to make excuse for our sin. If God says be holy, he wants us to be holy. If he sent his only begotten son, if he wrapped himself, the very virtue of himself, in a human body in the form of Jesus Christ and came down here on this earth, became the sacrificial lamb so that we might have the right to the tree of life, you think he's going to just accept anything and allow any and everything into heaven? No, it's not going to happen. Whoever is preaching this lie of inclusion, I rebuke the lie in the name of Jesus and ask God to take the spiritual blinders off their eyes and bring them out of reprobate mind. There's so many people walking about reprobate. Their minds, God has turned them over to a reprobate mind that they are calling that which is bad, good, and that which is good, bad. Because they've involved themselves in the wrong lifestyle for so long that they can't even tell, that they don't even know that they're living a strange life.
All them preachers preaching that prosperity back in that time have all one by one been exposed and eventually fallen.
Yeah,
I don't want to get to that point where, through Facebook or through going to the grocery or wherever I go, try to help people and then get to the kingdom and God say he didn't know me.
Exactly.
I was living a hidden life. You know, I know I'm not the only one, but, you know, that's what it feels like with this strange fire movement you got going. That's where people are. You can be, because people see you going through the motion church. They see you being prosperous, but they don't understand that, you know, the devil blesses people too with things to keep you in that. To keep you in that mess.
Keep you bound up.
You know what I'm saying? So then you're bound up, and then you're being effective, you know, partially if they're like, you know, you really aren't walking in the fullness, and then when you get to the kingdom, God said he didn't know you, and you fall down just like everybody else.
Just like everybody else.
And we got to get real. So many powerful people that, I'm just a baby, but I've seen so many powerful people that, you know, that are just falling off like flies, you know, and being exposed in their sins. It's like, you know, it was convicting to me because of my life, what I was doing, even being in ministry. It's unacceptable out of the will of God. But nobody knows. So I'm not going to live like that no more.
Well, we just got to be clean and stop offering strange fire up to God. Yes. And it's up to us, those of us that God is purifying and cleansing us, we have to tell people, you know, listen, you can't be a double agent, okay? That's not authorized by God. Being a double agent is not authorized by God.
The open-minded man is, the open-minded man is, in all his ways, is pretty jacked up from what it says. You know, I mean, I'm trying to get in there in the word for myself, but I know that what I'm being taught is acceptable. God can't keep that one, can't keep two ways going.
No, it's either one
is
going
to go left.
Yeah, one is going one out. The natural man is warring against the spirit, and the spirit against the natural. The Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Okay, the flesh is an enemy to God. Well, if we're living our lives in the flesh, but we're saying we're called that we belong to Jesus Christ, we're offering him strange fire. We're liars.
Amen.
It is what it is. Call a spade a spade. If we say that we are children of the Most High God, we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and we know the Word of God says, be holy, for I am holy. We know the Bible tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We know what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. We know what Romans 6, chapter 6 says, the wages of sin is death. We know that. How is it that we can say, with the and even pretend like we're telling the truth, that, oh, yes, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. My husband did a teaching about, is Jesus really your Lord? And I really want him to do that again on this broadcast, because how can you, Jesus said, how can you call me Lord and you don't even do what I say? How can you call me Lord? You won't even do what I say. You won't forgive. You won't love. You won't repent. You won't live holy. You won't read your word. You won't pray. You won't seek me with your whole heart. But you're out here seeking other things. How is it that you calling me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say?
Yeah, man.
God does not accept the strange fire. We're offering strange fire to him, but God is not accepting strange fire. I'm telling you, listen, let's read the word of God, because we got to read the word of God, because I saw this last night, and when I saw it, it just pricked my spirit. So it just pricked me. So I said, Lord, I thank you for this word, because he is the same God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. God is God. He is the creator of everything. He made the heavens and the earth. He spoke, and when he said, let there be light, there was light. He created Adam. He created Adam. He formed Adam. He created Adam. So if he created Adam and he took woman out of Adam and formed her and presented her to him, don't you think he know everything about us?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that we think we can flim-flam God? Well, we have become so deceived in our minds that we think we can flim-flam God. We think that, oh, you know, we can commit adultery and fornication and still come in and sing in the choir. Oh, Lord, I praise you. I praise. What kind of strange fire is that? What kind of offering is that? It's a strange offering. It's a defiled offering. It's messed up. Let's read the book of Leviticus, because I keep trying to get there, but we got to get it together and stop offering a strange fire unto God. My husband wrote in the chat room, he said, the prophets of old warned, condemned, and then if the people repented and turned from their wicked ways, God will restore and establish them a great people. And we're going to read that tonight. The prophets today predict, they tickle our egos and collect a love offering.
Amen.
Oh, my gosh, that is so true. That is so true, because what you said, excuse me, Daniel, when you said the prophets come and tell you, okay, you're going to get a car. You was like, I don't want you to tell me I'm going to get a car. Tell me about the sin of my life. Tell me what God said I better do with my life, you know, and get it right. That's what I want to hear. I know God will bless me with a house and he'll bless me with a car. He can do that, okay? But tell me about the sin of my life. I want to see. Is God showing you that? Okay, what good is a car going to prosper? A car is not going to get me into heaven. It's going to meet my need while I'm here on earth, but that car is not going to get me into heaven. Okay, neither is that house. Neither is that money. It's not going to get me into heaven. It'll meet my needs right here on earth, but nothing in earth is going to heaven. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So that tells you right there that nothing that we have now is going to be what we have in heaven. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Nothing unclean is going to heaven. Okay? I don't care what your name is, what your title is, who your mama is. You know, you could be the child of the president. You could be the president's mother. It doesn't matter. Okay? Nothing unclean is going to inherit the kingdom of God. And God, who is a holy God, is not accepting strange fire. He's not accepting unauthorized offerings unto him. He's not accepting you're praising him with your mouth, but your heart is far from him. That's strange fire. That's an unauthorized offering that we're presenting to a holy God. Okay, let me get to the scripture, because some people will not understand why I keep saying strange fire or unauthorized offering. People think, okay, well, you know, I can come to church any way I want to, and I can sit there and I can say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, and God is just going to accept it. Nuh-uh. Let's read this. Leviticus chapter 9, I'm going to start at verse 1. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish. Did you hear this? Without blemish, okay? Get a baby cow, get a calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish. These offerings, the calf and the ram had to be presented to God, and they couldn't have any blemishes on them. Okay? It says, without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel, thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish. There's that word again, for a burnt offering. Okay, you got two verses back to back that says without blemish. Also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil. For today the Lord will appear unto you. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation. And all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. See, God is telling them what to do so that his glory can come, so that his glory can appear before the people. He's giving them specific instructions on what to do so that the glory of the Lord could appear to them. Are y'all listening? Are y'all hearing what the Word of God is saying? He's giving us specific instructions on how to worship him, how to come before him, what to offer him. And it couldn't be something that, okay, well, he said bring a calf, but I'm going to bring this one over here. Yeah, the leg is broken on this calf, but I'm going to bring it anyway because he said bring a calf. He said bring it without blemish. Bring it without blemish. Don't bring God just anything you want to bring him. Bring it to him. And it can't have a blemish on it. It has to be perfect. It has to be acceptable to God. Okay? Verse 5. I'm sorry. Let's go down to verse 7. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering and make an atonement for thyself and for the people and offer the offering of the people and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded. And Aaron therefore went unto the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above liver of the sin offering he burnt upon the altar as the Lord commanded Moses. And the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire without the camp. And he slew the burnt offering, and Aaron's son presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled round about upon the altar. And they presented the burnt offering unto him with the pieces thereof and the head, and he burnt them upon the altar. And he did wash the inwards and the legs and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar. Verse 15, and he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it and offered it for sin as the first. And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the manner. Excuse me. Verse 17, and he brought the meat offering and took a handful thereof and burnt it upon the altar beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offering, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled upon the altar round about. And the fat of the bullock and of the ram, the rump, and that which covereth the inwards, and the kidneys, and the caul above the liver. And they put the fat upon the breast, and he burnt the fat upon the altar. And the breast and the right shoulder Aaron weighed for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. And Aaron lifted up his hand towards the people and blessed them and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Okay? Now, chapter 10, this is what we're going to listen to. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put the fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Did you hear that?
Yes, ma'am.
In verse 2, it says, in chapter 10, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. This is Aaron's two sons. This is the priest, Aaron, Moses' brother. His two sons offered strange fire before the Lord. They're going to go and offer something that Jesus did not ask them to offer. They're going to go and offer something that Jesus didn't authorize. I mean, not Jesus, but that God didn't authorize. God specifically told them what to offer, what to do. And when the people did it, when Aaron did it, excuse me, and the people obeyed the word of God, God blessed them, and his glory appeared to them, and the people began to fall on their faces, and they shouted and fell on their faces. But Aaron's sons, two of his sons, decided that they were going to do something different, okay? They were going to add something to what God had already said. God did not tell them to get their censers. God did not tell them to put fire in it. He did not tell them to get their incense and do none of that. What God said is what he said. That's what he meant. That's what he wanted. They came and made up their own stuff, and here it says in plain English, strange fire. They offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And when they did that, fire from the Lord came and devoured them, and they died. See, we don't have that. God, that hasn't been happening so much in this new covenant time that we're living in. And I'm not asking God to kill us. I'm not asking him to do any of that. Okay? But I want the people of God to begin to read the word of God and see the kind of stuff that God was talking about and see just how serious God was about the offering that he wanted presented to himself. See, God sent Jesus as the sacrificial lamb because he knew us people, we just can't get it together. Okay? We just some kind of way got to think about it. We got a reason. You know, we got to try to make it be something else. Oh, God, what you saying? You know, why we got to put a goat and a ram and a bull and a this and a that? Why can't I just put some incense in my little center and light it up and just stick around and say, why can't I do that? I don't know why God did it with that, but he said what he wanted. They went and tried to do something else, and God killed them. Off a strange fire. If people begin to drop dead in the church today because of offering a strange fire, it wouldn't be so much of this going on.
Everybody's trying to protect ourselves before we wreck ourselves.
Yes, and believe me what I tell you, I am so not asking God to start killing people because I don't want to die. I'm not perfect. Sometimes I go to church with a messed up attitude. Sometimes I don't do things that are right. I don't want God to just kill me. I don't want him to, you know, consume me with a consuming fire. No, I want to get it right, and he's giving us a chance to get it right now. He really is. He's giving us a chance to get it right now. But some of us are just so hard-headed, and we just don't want to listen. We just don't want to do right. We just want to do what we want to do and do it the way we want to do it, and we're offering up strange fire to God. Some people are in positions in church that they're not even supposed to be in. Some people walking around with titles that they're not even supposed to have because God didn't even call them to that. Some people out here doing unauthorized things that God did not tell them to do. Strange fire before the Lord, and we think that he's accepting it? Does God have to accept what we offer to him? Anything that we offer? That's like one of my kids. If one of my children would come to me right now and say, here, Mommy, okay, now you already know that I don't like the color brown, okay? But you say, Mommy, I'm going to surprise you and I'm going to buy you a whole new wardrobe. And you go out and you buy me a wardrobe and everything is brown. I'm supposed to accept that and be happy? Excuse me, I'm supposed to accept that and be happy? I specifically told you I don't like brown. But you go to the store and you pick out everything brown. And I'm supposed to be happy about it. Well, Mommy, it's the thought that counts. No, because if you really loved me, you would have listened to what I said. You would have heard my heart. You would have heard what I was speaking to you from my heart. And you wouldn't have just went out and got something just to say, Mommy, I got you something. You would have gotten something that Mommy really liked, that Mommy really wanted, not what you want to do. Does that make any sense? I'm just saying, like, come on now. Honey, you're in the chat room. Talk to me. Talk to me. You're in the chat room. Is anything that I'm saying making any sense? Because I don't want to be teaching something that's wrong. I want us to fall on our knees and begin to repent and begin to call on the name of the Lord. And I want us to begin to ask God, Father, please show us ourselves. A lot of us already know where we are. We don't need him to show us nothing because we already know. But we need to die to this flesh. We need to make a commitment to God on tonight or whenever you're listening to this broadcast. If you're listening to it in an archive, we need to fall on our knees and repent to God. We need to, if we can't get on our knees, we need to lay prostrate before him and repent and turn from our wicked ways and say, God, I've been offering you strange fire. And I just want to repent right now. I want to repent because my heart has not been right. I want to repent, Lord God, because I've been trying to go over the sin of my life. Like I said on Facebook, I had 18,000 messages in my Yahoo account. They didn't get there all in one night, Daniel. They accumulated over time. And when we live our lives and we continue to sin and we continue to sin, that stuff accumulates over time. And when we look at ourselves, we're reprobate. Or when we look at ourselves, we're so backslidden, we're so far from God that it's amazing that God even allows us to come back to our right mind and allows us to repent. It's amazing that we serve that kind of God, that he still allows us to come back to him and to repent. You know, 2012 is right at the door. 2012 is right here. But besides that, we don't know when Jesus Christ is coming. Besides that, we don't know when our time is coming. We don't know when we're going to take our last breath on this earth. And before we take our last breath on this earth, we want to make sure that we're right. We want to make sure that we're clean before God. We want to make sure that we are offering ourselves as a living sacrifice without spot, without blemish, without any such thing, because the Bible tells us that Christ is coming back for a church without spot, without blemish, without any such thing. That's what the Bible tells us. So if the Bible says it, then it's true. But go back and look at the sacrifice in Leviticus. Go back and look at how they had to give the sacrifice, what the sacrifice had to be, how it had to be without blemish, how it had to be acceptable unto God. We can't just offer God anything we want to offer him. We can't do it. My husband says some things that we do may not be a bad thing in itself, but it's not what God has called you to do. And that is correct. Somebody might be preaching the gospel, and that's not what God called you to do. It might be good that you're preaching the gospel, but are you in disobedience that you're preaching the gospel and God did not tell you to do that? Sometimes we do things that we want to do. I know my husband and I were talking to someone today, and we were talking about years ago when my husband got ordained. I thought I was going to get ordained with him because they led me to believe that I was going to get ordained with him. And the person I was talking to today said, well, you know, we can fix that today. We can see, you know, we can see about what we can do to get you ordained now. I was like, I know, That's not what I'm here for. I didn't come here for you to ordain me. God has ordained me. I didn't say that part. I didn't say come here for you to set up an appointment for me to be ordained. I've been ordained. I've been legally ordained. I've been licensed by my husband when we had Refuge of God Ministries, church ministry going on. So I was ordained. I had fivefold come and lay hands on me. So I was ordained. I am ordained elder. But I wasn't looking for him to say, well, come to church, you know, on this day, and I'm going to ordain you, and you're going to be an elder of this church. I wasn't looking for that. And so at one point in my life, I would have jumped at that. I ain't going to lie to you. One point in my life, I would have jumped at that. But I'm over it. Like today, when I introduced myself today, I said, this is Teresa. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Teresa Scott. And then I said, a.k.a. Evangelist Teresa Scott, because a lot of people know me by Evangelist Teresa. But if you never call me Evangelist Teresa, excuse me, it's okay with me.
Amen.
it's okay with me, because God don't sit around and say, hey, Evangelist Teresa, I want to talk to you. I'm his child. If my children, one of my children in the military grows up to the rank of captain, I'm going to call you whatever your name is. Okay, because that captain stuff is for the military. All right? You are what I called you when you was born. That's what your name is to me, because I'm your mother. You know, and I believe that's how God feels towards us. We're his sons and his daughters. All right? All this title stuff that people coming up with and all these extra titles that people are making up, God don't care nothing about that. Can y'all understand what I'm saying? God doesn't care anything about that. He doesn't care how many albums you sell as a gospel singer. He doesn't care about how many television shows you're on, how many radio shows you're on, he doesn't care if you could quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelation verbatim. If we're not living what we're talking, we're offering strange fire. We're offering strange fire. And to people, that may look acceptable unto God, but it's not. We're offering strange fire. We're walking around blemished, Daniel. We're walking around with broken legs in the spirit. We're walking around looking like gimps in the spirit. Just messed up. If you go on to read the book of Leviticus, you will see that people that had flaws in their body, if they had blemishes on them, if something was wrong with them, if one leg was longer than the other, if their hand was shrunk or something, whatever the case was, they could not offer the sacrifice. If you continue to read the book of Leviticus, they could not offer the sacrifice. A sacrifice could be made for them, but they could not offer a sacrifice unto God because they had blemishes on them. They weren't, something was wrong with them. I don't know why it was like that, but it was, okay? But he sent the priests to offer an offering for themselves as well as for the people. But today we got a high priest, glory to God, and his name is Jesus. We got a high priest that we can go to. We don't have to wait for the priest to make a yearly sacrifice, or we don't have to, you know, go to the priest when we've sinned and say, you know, help me, Father, for I have sinned. We don't have to do all of that. We can go directly. We can come boldly. We can go boldly to the throne of grace. We can go boldly to the throne of grace. But we can't go boldly to the throne of grace if every time you turn around, you continuing in sin. Continuing in sin. I'm not saying that you're not going to sin or we're not going to sin, but I'm talking about continuing sin. Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue to sin so that we can continue to receive grace? Should we continue to sin so God can just pour his grace out on us? Paul said, God forbid. And in Romans 6:23, he said, the wages of sin is death. If you read through the book of Romans, you will see whoever you yield yourself to obey, whoever you yield your body as a servant to obey, that's who your master is. If you're living a sinful life, if you're doing everything the devil tells you to do, if you do everything that is indicative of what the devil would tell you to do, then that's your master. Okay? So if you're living like the devil, Sunday afternoon, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning you go to church, and Sunday afternoon you're living like the devil again. Mm-hmm. Who you think you belong to? You really think you belong to God?
Ain't fooling nobody.
You really think you belong to God. But I'm telling you, I promise you, what I'm saying to you right now is so many people believing that they can do what they do and it's still acceptable to God, and it's not. It is not. My husband said, that's why we are not blessed in what we are trying to do. We are not doing what God wants us to do. If God calls us to be evangelists, we choose the pastor, we are standing against the will of God for our lives. Okay, is pastoring wrong in itself? Of course not. It is one of the fivefold ministry. But if God tells you to do this, but you do that, then we are definitely wrong. Nothing is right when it's outside of God's will. No, and you're offering strange fire. You're offering strange fire. Everybody's not called to be a pastor. Everybody's not called to be an evangelist. Everybody's not called to be a bishop or an apostle. Everybody's not called to that. Okay? If you do it, hey, you know, that's between you and God. I'm talking about us offering funky stuff to God. Just coming before him funky. Can I say that? Just coming before God nasty, funky. You know how you smell if you don't take a bath for a few days or a shower for a few days. You know that you just begin to stink and stink and stink. When we don't get into the Word of God, when we don't get into real praise and real worship before a holy God, we stink to him. Strange fire stinks. It stinks. But yet we want to offer a holy God just anything. We just want to, here, God, take this. Because this is what I feel like today. You take this. Y'all, I thank God that I'm not God. And I thank God y'all are not God. Because the stuff that God has allowed or has put up with, we would have killed each other by now. We'd have killed off so many people by now for offering up strange fire. But guess what? The day is going to come when every knee is going to have to bow and every tongue is going to have to confess. But it's going to come a day. You might as well bow now because you're going to have to bow later. Why not bow now and hear God say, come on in, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. Why not bow now? Why not give up the sin now? Why not just live holy now? Because guess what? After we take our last breath, there's no more chance. There's no more room for repentance once you die. There's no more room for repentance once you enter into hell. There is no more room for repentance once hell is lifted up and thrown into the lake of fire. There is no more room for repentance. You can cry. You can scream. You can beg God. You can say, God, please get me out of hell. You can say, God, please get me out of the lake of fire. You can say all of that. But God has given us the opportunity now to stop offering him strange fire before we live eternally in the lake of fire. Now think about that for a few minutes. I'm just saying what the Word of God says. Oh, you see, I see you got on, Daniel. That's good. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Word of God in the Old Testament should be teaching us what we should and should not be doing. The Israelites went through a whole lot, okay? They went through a whole lot because they would not obey God. They went through a whole lot, and because of their rebellion, because of their, my husband and I were talking today about reasoning, about thinking too much. You know, we overthink things as humans. We get a little bit of education and we think we know this and we think we know that. So when God says something, as simple as it may be, that God says to us, we overthink it and we overanalyze it and we try to make it be something else that God didn't say. He simply said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, because God is spirit. As Jesus said, God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay? We try to reason that away. Well, this is what God meant. God said they that worship him, Jesus said, God, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God is spirit. We cannot worship God in our flesh. There's nothing good in our flesh. What is good in your flesh? There's nothing good in my flesh. There is no good thing in my flesh. The Bible clearly tells us that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Why would there be a war going on between the flesh and the spirit if the flesh was good? why would there be that struggle between the flesh and the spirit if the flesh was good? There's no good thing in our flesh. That's why we got to go to God in the spirit. That's why we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. That's why we have to call out to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is our helper. And we can call out to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me. I need you to, whatever the problem is, cry out to God and talk to him in prayer. God knows you anyway. If you have a problem with adultery, tell God, look, God, I'm having a problem with adultery. I like pretty women, or I like handsome men, whatever the case is. This person is giving me attention. I'm not getting the attention I need at home, so I'm doing this. Whatever the reason it is for you being an adulterer, and you just finally ready to stop being an adulterer or adulteress, you tell God, I'm an adulterer. God, I need you to, I repent, God. I'm asking you to clean me up. I don't want to be an adulterer, because your word says adulterers, nor fornicators, nor liars, nor effeminate. None of these people are going into the kingdom of God. Whatever the problem is, if your problem is just not obeying God, the slightest thing he says, you have the opportunity right now to repent. You have the opportunity right now to give your life over to God by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for real. Okay, not just offering God lip service, not just offering him strange fire, not just saying stuff because it sounds good to say, but coming to God and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And your Lord means that he has absolute rule over you. It means he can tell you to go to A Street, and you're going to go to A Street. You're not going to detour and try to go through D Street to get to A Street. You're going to do exactly what God says. That's when you know that he is really Lord over your life, that whenever he tells you to do, you're going to do what he says. You're not going to reason it away. You're not going to try to outthink it. You're not going to try to analyze it. You're just going to do what God says to. Whoever you obey is your master. If you find every time you turn around, you're obeying whatever is not of God, Satan is your master. I can't sugarcoat it. I can't make it be anything other than what it is. I can't. If every single thing you do, or mostly everything you do, is not of God, how can God be your Lord? How can Jesus be your Lord? How can God be master of your life? How can that be? Somebody help me out and tell me, because I'm not understanding. If we are lying every day of our lives, if for no reason, I know people lie for free. They just lie. You look at them and they lie. Why did you just tell that lie? Nobody even asked you anything. Why are you lying? Excuse me. What's the purpose of lying for free? I asked you how many kids you claimed on your income tax. I don't want to know. My husband said, stop asking people questions when you know they're going to lie, because you're causing them to lie. Just don't ask them. Don't call somebody else to lie. Don't call somebody else to sin. But tonight we want to do a self-examination. And somebody in the chat room said self-check. We want to do a self-examination. And we want to see, are we offering strange fire up to God? So many people are so far moved away from God, they don't even realize that they're so far moved away from God. They don't even realize that they're in a state of reprobate mind. They don't even realize it, because they've been offering strange fire up to God for so long, and they've conditioned their minds to think that what they're doing and what they're offering to God has been acceptable to God, that they don't even realize they're in a backslidden state. They don't even realize that they are so far away from God. And yet they continuously, week after week, week after week after week. Let's pray for them. Let's pray that that's not us. Okay? Let's pray. God, tonight, we heard the word of God. We heard that we shouldn't be offering strange fire unto you. God, I know that I'm still, and you fill in the blank right there, because you know whatever it is that you're still doing that God doesn't want you to do. Maybe you're being unloving. You're being unkind. Maybe you're being unforgiving. Maybe you are lying. Maybe you just going around spreading evil. Maybe, you know, you're causing division amongst the brethren. Maybe your feet are swift to mischief. You know, maybe you're, you know, behind the scenes doing things, you know, talking to people and, you know, telling them this, that, and the third, and causing disruptions and disturbances. Maybe you, you know, whatever the case is, whatever it is that you're doing that is not right, talk to God and say, God, I'm coming to you tonight because I heard the word and I was pricked in my spirit, and I want you, I'm asking you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, to forgive me for my sins. Father, I have sinned. And I'm going to say, like David said, God, when I sinned against you, and you only did I sin and do that which was evil in your sight. See, when David sinned with Bathsheba, he didn't immediately tell God that he sinned. He didn't go to God and say, yeah, I sinned. I slept with Bathsheba. She got pregnant. Then I had to send her husband on the front line so he could get killed. He did not do that. Okay? The prophet had to come to David and reveal, you know, and make a story, tell him a story, and then reveal to him, okay, that man is you. That's when David repented. He didn't just come out and repent. Okay? And this is the same thing that's happening now. God is talking to you tonight, or whenever you're listening to this broadcast and archives, God is talking to you and telling you, repent. You've been offering strange fire to me. You've been offering up stuff that I have not accepted. Okay, you've been, you know, in church making a whole bunch of noise. You've been outside in the street doing this, that, and the third. It is a bunch of noise to me. It's a sound of brass. It's a tinkling cymbal. You doing this stuff and you don't have no love in your heart. You're doing it because you want to be seen. You want attention. You want a pat on the back. Maybe you've just fallen away and God is telling you tonight, come back to me. Come back to me. My love for you has not changed. God's love for us has not changed, and God's love for us never will change. The Bible teaches us that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. No matter what we do, it cannot separate us from his love. But just because God loves us doesn't mean that he's going to accept strange offerings from us, that he's going to accept strange fire, that he's going to accept unauthorized offerings unto himself. Just because he loves us, he's not going to accept anything from us. He wants us to give him what he asks for, and that's holiness and true righteousness, a clean heart. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to come to him like little children. And little children, if you sit down and talk to a little child is untainted. They don't understand all of this adult stuff. You know, a little child, when they come into you, they sit and you can tell them anything, and they sit and they listen to you and they'll obey you. You know, the little children, when they get to the point where they really can start reasoning in their minds and you start telling them that they want to come against you, no, I'm not doing it. No, no. Okay? But God wants us to come to him humbly as a little child. Come to him with innocence. Come to him as you will go to a loving father. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to acknowledge that without him, we can do nothing. Jesus said, abide in the vine. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches, and my father is the husbandman. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And you can find that in John chapter 15. But God wants us to come to him with a pure heart. He wants us to examine our own heart. We've looked at this person and we've looked at that person. We've talked about this person and that person has talked about us. We've done this and we've done that. You know, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have. But God wants us to do an introspection tonight. He wants us to look at ourselves. And he wants us to examine whether we really are of the faith. He wants us to examine, do we really love him? Do we love God in our heart, in our spirit? Or are we just saying we love him because that's the thing to say? Do we really love God enough to change the things that we're doing or allow the Holy Spirit to help us to mortify the deeds of this flesh? Do we really love God enough? Do we really love him like that? I was talking to my husband today. And I was talking to somebody else yesterday. The divorce rate in the church is out of control. The divorce rate in the church is out of control. And that's another reason why you can tell that we are not walking in agape. Because if we were walking in agape, the divorce rate in the body of Christ would not be what it is today. The divorce rate in the body of Christ is comparable to that of the world. The divorce rate in the body of Christ is comparable to that of the world. And it's because we are not walking in agape. Love never fails, the word of God tells us. Love never fails. In marriages, you're going to have, and that's in any relationship, you're going to have arguments, you're going to have disagreements, you're going to have one person thinking they know more than the other person. You're going to have this and you're going to have that. And I'm not telling anybody to stay in a relationship where you're getting abused physically. If you're in a relationship and you're getting abused physically, I suggest that you go to a safe place. Go somewhere where you will not get abused. I'm still not telling you to get divorced. I'm telling you to go to a safe place. If you have to go to the police station, go to the police station. If you got to go to the emergency room, go to the emergency room. Go to a safe place. Okay, and pray for your abuser. Pray for your healing and pray for your abuser. Forgive your abuser. Okay, this is what we have to do. It's easier said than done. Trust me and believe me, I know. I was a product of an abusive husband and not Bishop Scott. He has never laid a hand on me. He has never laid a hand on me. And I thank God for that. But there are people in the body of Christ who are being abused physically, mentally. There are people in the body of Christ who are the abusers. They secretly go home and abuse their family. They abuse their children. They abuse their spouse. And nobody's calling it out in the church. Nobody's calling it out. So they're getting away with it. Coming to church, singing in the choir, coming to church, you know, the head this and the head that, and going back home the same way. Still beating up your family. Still, you know, not treating your wife right. Wives not submitting to their husbands. Children running around crazy. Don't know how to act. But yet we go to church. And excuse me, and try to offer God just anything. I'm not saying we can't go to God when we're broken in spirit. Blessed are those that are broken in spirit. Blessed are those that are mourn. They shall be comforted. But God don't want us to keep living in sin and then say we belong to Jesus. God don't want us to live a lifestyle of sin and keep acting like we belong to Him. That's offering strange fire to Him. God don't want us to be homosexuals, walking around being a homosexual and telling everybody that you belong to Jesus and you live in a lifestyle of homosexuality. You know good and well, as soon as you leave the church, you go into your boo house, to your wifey house. Or if y'all live together, y'all about to get it in. You already, come on now. And you think God is approving of that? Read the book of Leviticus. Read the book of Leviticus. And I'm not here to bash on homosexuals, but read Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Read that. It's time for us to come clean. It's time for us to come clean. It's time to come clean. After this, I really don't have anything else to say. But I do know that it's time for us to come clean. It's time for us to examine ourselves. It's time for us to make it right between you and God. You don't have to wait till Sunday to go to church. You don't have to wait for Tuesday to go to church. You don't have to wait for Wednesday. You don't have to wait for Friday. You don't have to wait for whatever particular day that you choose to go to church. You don't have to wait. You can do it right now. You can stop where you are right now and say, God, I repent. I repent. Repent means to say what it is that you're doing and turn from it. Despise that thing. Stop doing it. That's what repent means. You can say whatever you want to say, but your actions have to be indicative of a true change of heart. Talk is cheap. We got to do what we got to do to be right with God. We got to do what we got to do to be right with God. And you might say, well, I don't abuse my wife. Or the wife might say, I don't abuse my husband, or I don't abuse my children, I don't do this. But what is your attitude towards them? What is your attitude towards your spouse? What is your attitude towards your children? Are you willing to change? Are you not willing to change? But like I told somebody today, guess what? I got to answer to God for myself. As much as my husband loves me, he cannot answer to God for me. As much as I love him, I cannot answer to God for him. As much as we love our children, we can't answer to God for our children. Each and every one of us are going to have to answer for ourselves. And we have a chance right now to get it right. Let's take our eyes off of everybody else. The people in the ministry with the big names who are being exposed, don't be happy about that. Don't rejoice in the fact that they're being exposed. Ask God to clean them, save them. Don't rejoice over that. But when you see somebody falling, examine yourself and say, God, what is in me? Is there anything, is there any evil thing in me? The Bible says the heart is sick and desperately wicked. The heart is sick and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is sick and desperately wicked. We got to examine our hearts. We got to examine our hearts on a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly basis, sometimes on a minute-by-minute basis, especially as women, especially those of us who are emotional. We got to examine ourselves constantly so that we can be right before a holy God. It's not about keeping score. It's not about, oh, well, so-and-so did this to me, so I'm going to do this to them. It's not about that, because that's not what God is looking for. It's not about, oh, you know, so-and-so did me wrong, so now I'm going to go and I'm going to do whatever I can do to get back at him or her. No. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord. I would like to suggest, and I'm starting with myself, I would like to suggest that as we end this broadcast, that we will begin to examine ourselves, that we will sincerely go before our Heavenly Father and ask Him to forgive us for whatever it is in our hearts. Ask God to help us through the Holy Spirit to live holy and to live righteously. Until the appointed time that either God calls us into rest or Jesus comes for the bride. I would challenge you tonight. I would suggest to you, whenever you're listening to this in the archive, that you come clean with yourself. If you have to take a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen and write down the things that you do that you know God does not approve of, that you write them down and you ask God to forgive you for every single thing that you're doing that is not right. Everything. I'm included in this. I'm not excluding myself at all. May I suggest to you that if you're listening to this in the archives or you're listening right now in the chat room or on the phone line, may I suggest that you not let tonight pass without you asking God for forgiveness. That you will not let this hour pass without you asking God to clean you up from the inside. You can just throw your hands in the air where you are. You can get on your knees. You can get on your face and you can call out to God. And if you call out to God out of a pure heart, He will hear you and He will answer you. And you think God won't clean you up? You think God won't begin to show you the word? You think God won't begin to fill you with His Holy Spirit? You think He won't? He's not going to withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. He's not going to withhold His Holy Spirit from us. But we got to come clean tonight. We got to come clean tonight. It's for your own good. It's not for God. It's for our own good. God is God. God is all that in the bag of chips. God is way more than that. God already has it together. That's why He's God. But He's given us a chance to come to Him and make us over again. And He's given us a chance to sit on the potter's wheel and allow Him to mold us and make us into what He wants us to be. Don't reason it away. Don't try to think about it. Don't try to say, God, but I know better than you. Don't try to say, God, well, I tried this before and it's not going to work. I think it was the Hawkins singers that sang this song called Take Me Back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. And they go on to say, I feel that I'm so far from you, Lord, but still I hear you calling me. If that's you tonight, if you feel like you're so far from God, but you still hear Him calling you, if you can still feel God tugging on your heart, if you still know, if you still have that little bit inside of you that still knows that the lifestyle you're living is wrong, that you're trying to live a double life, that you're still living in sin, and you're doing it because you want to. If that's you tonight, ask God to take you back. Take me back, Lord. Take me back. Clean me up, Lord God. Clean me. God, clean me. I know I'm going to pray for my brother and my sister, Lord God, but clean me up so that when I do pray for my brothers and sisters, that you can hear my prayers, that my prayers will be pure, that my prayers will be clean, and most specifically, that my prayers will be accepted by you, Heavenly Father. If you have a lying tongue, if you're a backbiter, if your feet are swift to run the mischief, if you like to cause division among the brethren, if that's you, if you know you're doing sneaky stuff and you're lying on somebody to try to make yourself look good, if you're putting people down, if you like tearing people down to build yourself up, ask God to forgive you. My husband asked me one day. He says you like tearing me down, don't you? He said, you just like tearing me down. Any instance you can get to tear me down, that's just what you do. You like to do that. That hurt me when he said that. Like, oh, you just make a point to tear me down. And in my flesh and in my anger and in my heart, I say, yeah, I like to tear you down. I like to make you look bad. Because when I make him look bad, stupidity tells me it makes me look bad. good. If you try to, you know, show his flaws and make your flaws look less, that's from the devil. That's not of God. That's not of God. I had to repent. I had to repent, examine my own heart. I had to examine my own heart. At the same time, and I was like, yeah, Lord, but, you know, that's not the kind of prayer God want to hear. That's not repentance. Yeah, God, I'm sorry, but you know what no. Put the brakes on. That's not repentance. Mm-mm. Repentance is what you did. Confess what you did. Despise it. Turn from it and don't do it anymore. Give yourself back to God the Father, the Heavenly Father. That's what repentance is. So, I want to say on tonight, because where I am right now, it is 8:35 p.m. But whoever you are, if anything was said tonight on this broadcast that is going to cause you to repent, then I ask you to repent. I'm not doing this for offering. Nobody's paying me to do this. Nobody is paying me to do this. My reward comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That's where my reward comes from. But the same thing that I'm saying to you, I have to live by those same words. I have to live by those same words. So whoever you are in Blog Talk Radio Land, whoever you are in the archives, whoever you are on the phone, in the chat room, I'm going to say like Paul says, I beseech you, brethren or sister, and by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Paul said, I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the word of God. I believe you can locate that in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Self-examination. And don't just examine yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit to come in. The Bible tells us to mortify the deeds of our flesh. To mortify the deeds of our flesh. And I know Daniel Dicon, you were saying earlier that if you continue to scratch the scab, it's not going to heal. If you continue to pull that scab off, it's not going to heal. Some of us keep scratching up the scabs and opening up the old wounds and not allowing it to heal. God is waiting for us right now. He wants to heal us. He wants us to be made whole. Daniel was talking about how we operate out of our emotions. And our emotions is where so many of us live, and we operate out of our emotions so much. We go by our senses so much, what we see in the natural, what we hear in the natural, what we feel in the natural, what we think. Our spider senses are tingling. Our human rationalizing and our human reasoning has gotten in the way of the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Our human reasoning and our debates, our inner debates. We debate with God. We debate with the Word of God. We debate with the Holy Spirit. Instead of simply obeying the Word of God, I beseech you, therefore, brethren and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. In your body is ruled by your mind, by your brain. If the brain is dead, the body is dead. And some of us need to, some of us need to shut these brains down and allow the Holy Spirit to just come in and teach us. Some of us need to just shut it down and allow the Holy Spirit to come. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can ask God the Father right now for the Holy Spirit, and He will give you the Holy Spirit. He will give you the Holy Spirit. If you're in a backslidden situation, you can call out to our Heavenly Father on tonight, and He will hear you and answer you, whether it's in the morning when you're listening to this, afternoon, evening, night, whenever it is. God will hear you. And He will save your soul. Whoever you are, whatever title you have, you might be the Archbishop of the church. You might be the senior pastor. You might be the chief apostle. You might be the it to everybody. But God knows your heart. Will you cry out to Him tonight? Will you cry out to Him? Whatever time of day it is where you are, it doesn't matter to God. Will you cry out to God and ask Him to heal you? If you're holding on to unforgiveness from years and years ago, ask God to heal you, and He will. Whatever it is, our God is a just God. He's a forgiving God. He's a loving God, and He's a merciful God. Psalm 103, verse 4 tells us that He will save our lives from destruction. He will save our life from destruction. If you've been offering strange fire to God, ask Him to forgive you. And maybe, you know, just the fact that you're listening to this broadcast tonight means that God did not kill your natural body. But maybe you're just dead, separated from Him. Maybe you're just dead, separated from Him. Just dead, no relationship with Him, but walking around thinking that, you know, you and God got it, it's tight between y'all. Come on, people. Come. God is beckoning us once more. No man that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is worthy to enter into the kingdom. We're not even worthy. When we put our hands to the plow and we look back, we want to go back to the world. We want to go back to the ways of the world. We want to do what the world does. We want to do this because so-and-so is doing it. We want to do this because it's cool. We want to do this because of whatever reason. We're not even worthy to be called a child of God. We're not even worthy to be doing anything in the kingdom of God. Like Lot's wife, when they were leaving, God said, don't look back, and she looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. Is Satan tempting you tonight? Is he tempting you to go back into a life of sin? Is he tempting you to go back out there and fornicate and commit adultery? Is he tempting you with drugs and liquor and thievery? Is he tempting you to go back out there and start confusion and be a liar? Is Satan tempting you to use your mouth to murder? Is he tempting you to go back into a lifestyle of riotous living? Is he tempting you to just sin against God and don't even care? You know, if you want the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you can accept him right now. You can just change your mind about what it is you're doing. And you can say, for God I live, for God I die. But you can only not just say it, but you can mean it tonight. You can start fresh. You can get right with God and do it now. You can get right with God and he will show you how. Not just a song. Something I know about. You can do it. The question is, do you want to? What is that thing that you're holding on to so tightly that you'd rather take the chance of going to hell in the lake of fire? What is it that's so great in your life that you're holding on to that you will risk missing heaven? What is it? Is somebody's sexual organs that important to you that you're willing to risk missing heaven? I'm talking about their sexual organs and you're not married to them. They don't belong to you. You don't belong to them. Is that liquor or those drugs, are they so good to you that you're willing to risk eternity in torment? Is that lie you're forming to tell? Is that story that you're forming right now to make up about somebody? Is that gossip that you heard? You're so ready to run and tell them. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Risking eternity in a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Let us examine ourselves. Let us examine ourselves. It's Christmas. Christmas is the time of year now. You know, we're supposed to be celebrating the birth of Christ. We can celebrate the birth of Christ and we can celebrate newness of life. We can celebrate the fact that we now have newness of life. Oh, yeah. We can celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus, and we can also celebrate our new birth. Yes, the new birth. The new birth. New life in Christ, abundant and free. New life in Christ. God is not a respecter of persons. If you mean it, you can be saved right where you are right now. Father, I'm a sinner. I have sinned. I have sinned. I came to you. I gave you my life once before. At least I said I did. But Father, I have sinned. And I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I repent right now. I ask you to forgive me and I ask you to receive me into your kingdom as a child of God. Right now, where I sit, where I stand, I ask you to clean me up from the inside. Make me new. Make me that new creature that I read about in the Word. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. I offer myself unto you tonight, Father, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. Go back and read Leviticus. Go back and read Leviticus, how the sacrifice had to be acceptable to God, how it had to be without blemish, how it had to be specific, how the people couldn't just offer God anything. Go back and read how the priest had to be before God. And when Aaron's two sons, when God killed Aaron's two sons, God told him he couldn't even mourn for them. He told him, you can't even, don't mess your hair up and don't mess your face up. Don't put on a sad countenance. Don't tear your clothes. Don't let your hair be all disheveled. Don't do it. Why? Because his sons knew better. Don't get to the point where God will tell people not to mourn for you. Turn it back over to God right now. Turn your life over to him right now. Don't let it get to a place where God will tell people, don't cry for them. Don't let it get to that place where God will say that. So, with that being said, we're going to end the broadcast. We have made several prayers. I don't know if you caught them. I don't know if you received it. I don't know if you repeated any of them. But we've done that. If you didn't, you still have the opportunity to confess your sin and to repent and turn your heart to God. I would ask those of you that are listening to please pray for this broadcast, that God will send more hearers to this broadcast, not for my ego, but that God will send who he wants to come to this broadcast, and that every lie that has been spoken about me, every lie that has been spoken about this broadcast, that the lies will be condemned in the name of Jesus, and the person or persons will come to repentance in the name of Jesus. We just thank God for what he's doing. We thank God for how he's healing and how he is delivering. If you'd like to contact me, I am on Facebook. Teresa, God is making me over again. Scott, that is what I am listed as, but you can look for me under Teresa Scott. Well, look for God is making me over again because I do have another page. But the one that I am on most of the time is Teresa, God is making me over again, Scott. My husband is Bishop Scott. He goes by the name of G-Man Scott. Capital G, capital M, small case A, small case N. G-Man Scott on Facebook. Daniel Diacont Sr. is also on Facebook. If you're having a problem, if you need to talk, if the Spirit of God leads you to talk to us, you may contact us. All right, we will pray with you. We will hear from the Spirit of God and speak to you, what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. So I want to thank you tonight for joining us. I thank God for his Holy Spirit teaching us. I thank God for what he's doing in your life and what he's doing in my life. Stay prayerful. Stay aware of the tricks of the adversary. Call on the Lord while he may be found. Call on the Lord while he may be found. All right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? Love the Lord with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole body, your whole spirit, your whole self. Love God and allow him to show you how to love others. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We love you. And good night.